Welcome to Smart Cherry's Thoughts. This is Sai from India.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, Kirill. How are you?
I'm great. Okay, let me switch to my headphones.
Sure. Yeah, firstly, thank you for coming to my show.
Yeah, sure.
So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Sorry?
I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Sorry, I have problems with sound. Could you repeat once again?
I thought to tell about your work to my audience. I have gone through your profile.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
I work at Chainstack. Chainstack is a Web3 infrastructure company. I work as a product manager. I have a few projects, products, and basically the company's core business is providing customers with blockchain nodes. The developers of Web3 applications usually don't want to run their own nodes to access the blockchain because there's a lot of stuff to do, DevOps and maintenance of servers and so on, and they tend to just get the API endpoint for a shared node, and it's cheap or even free. And then they can write only their code on their laptop and deploy their smart contracts on the blockchain without all this infrastructure stuff. In this company, I'm working on the data products, data APIs, and data indexing products to help developers to access the blockchain data easily without indexing on their site, just writing simple indexers, deploying them also into our platform, and having the ready-to-use data via API.
You're from?
I'm from Russia, and now I live in Georgia for like a few years, and I'm basically nomading and currently choosing a country to move to another one.
So as a project manager, can you tell us more about your work?
Yeah, sure. The main thing in the product management is to run the business. So if there is a product, there is development, and it can look like beautiful and cool, but if there is no business around it, there is no idea to do the work in this area. So what we are trying to do is to access to reach out to our customers, to speak with them, to figure out their pain regarding their here it's a development process, and to try to help the solutions that can help them to have to focus on their own main business and not thinking about the stuff they don't want to think about. Here we have a lot of conversations with the Web3 developers, and basically they have, in my opinion, they have much more problems compared with the Web2 developers, because all this stuff that they use, the tools, the software, is not really reliable or like advanced level or just convenient to use, because all this area is not so developed. So every year we have a new framework and new technologies, and I think the developer experience is pretty poor in this area. So we have really a lot of ideas how to help developers. We are showing them these ideas. We are trying to help them in some ways, and sharing some MVPs, collecting the feedback, and trying to implement this feedback in our core product and our new products, and so on. Basically, this is my job.
So what products you are working right now?
Recently we released the first version of my product, which is called Subgraphs. Subgraphs is the I'd start with something how we came up with this product. As you may know, in the blockchains, the data is stored in transactions, and it's not like the SQL database when you can write a query which will extract all the data you need in like in a flash. Here you have a big database without any indexing, and the database can like have the volume about several terabytes, and there are like thousands of developers who are using the same ledger along with you, and all of them are deploying their smart contracts. The users send transactions, and this is a complete mess. And to get access to your personal data, the data of your smart contract, you have to write the code which will go over the entire blockchain and will find only your transactions, store it somewhere. You have to keep it up to date. You have to process the chain reorganizations, it's even if you will write this code and run it somewhere, you have to wait for a long time while it's going over the entire blockchain. And to solve this problem, there is a project called The Graph, and The Graph has a mission like to help anyone access the blockchain data easily, and inside of this project there is a decentralized network which is being developed, which allow users to access the data paying tokens for each request. But also there is a technology to index the blockchain data which is free to use, which is open sourced, and everybody can run their own indexer and write their own code, which is much easier to write compared to with the way when you don't have this framework. But the problem is that the technology is pretty good, but the infrastructure side of this case is not really easy to manage. If you are like a Web3 developer who are focused mostly on writing smart contracts or on front end for your decentralized application to just run this graph node. It can be like the same level of complexity task compared to your smart contract development. And it would be just cool to write this indexer and deploy it somewhere in some infrastructure, and don't think about how to spin up these nodes, how to connect them to each other, how to monitor their health and so on. And what we did is we ran it on our site, we integrated it into our platform, we made a lot of monitoring and alerting around it, and there is a operations team who is watching and overseeing this product. And the developer can, in this case, they can only write their own subgraph and deploy it into ChainStack and just have the data all already indexed and ready to use via API. And in this way, it becomes pretty convenient to have all your data of your smart contract in an API, and you just write your front-end application, which will have all this data via this API, not thinking about how it's stored on the blockchain.
So, as a product manager, for a business and helping different businesses which belongs to different industries, which businesses are getting more benefit with this technology that you're working on?
I think along with the our core product, which is blockchain nodes, the main customers who are paying for this particular product or for nodes are dApp developers who are in maybe some well-known decentralized applications like SushiSwap, Uniswap, OneInch, and so on. Wallets developers like Brave, Timeless Wallet, and so on. So there are a lot of customers from this industry, and basically, if you write a smart contract, you will need node. If you are writing the any analytical application or your portfolio tracker for crypto, you will need also nodes. And all of these developers are using RPC endpoints in different ways, and there are different providers on this area. So basically, these are our target audience.
So how many customers do you have?
We have more than hundreds of thousands of registered accounts, and I guess regarding active accounts, there are more than 10 or 20 thousands. Most of them are, of course, on the free developer plan, because it's pretty attractive. You can just log in and have access to 3 million of requests to the blockchain nodes, to any blockchain. We support more than 20 blockchains, and you can just use it for free in this freemium model. But some of the users who need more requests per months, for instance, if there are famous applications like, for instance, CoinGecko is our one of the most one of the biggest customers. They have really much more than 3 million of requests per month, so they have to buy some subscription plan, get more features like debug trace interface or some other stuff that's not available on the free plans. But yes, there are different customers.
So right now you are working on different features by taking the feedback from your customers. So what kind of feedback that you got, and what are the improvements that you're doing?
In our process, first we're trying to deliver really a raw MVP of the product. In this case, it was the really few buttons when you just can create subgraph, click on deploy, and that's it. And then when we like collected several customers who started using the product, we found out that there are a lot of things we have to do because it's like it's impossible to use the product in real production because there are some not only bugs but also some misleading things or in the UI or in the backend. And I can give some examples. Like first we figured out that the speed of syncing of like of indexing is not really good compared even to some free applications, and we did a lot of research figuring out what is the bottleneck, and like when we found out, we did some tweaks and it started working like I don't know 100% faster, 100 times or faster than before. Then we had a lot of work done regarding supporting of new protocols. Firstly, we supported only Ethereum, Polygon, and BSC. Then we added Arbitrum, Optimism. We added testnets. We didn't know that users are heavily using testnets, especially for subgraph development. Then now we are working on the UI features that help users to see the performance of their subgraphs and figuring out what are the bottlenecks in their own code and to how to help how to make this code work faster. Yep, that's it.
So mainly the technology blockchain is the core thing in your business that you are helping with helping for other businesses. So how other businesses are using this efficiently in order to run their businesses, and how they are solving their problems with this?
I say I would separate two types of I'd say view on this technology. First is there are some technological enthusiasts who are trying to build something new that never existed, and when they do something and they show it to the people, most people can say that nobody needs it, nobody will use it. But accidentally, there are some people who would like to try, who see the advantages of these new technologies for them, and they're occurring some process that make these people to like speak with each other, like telling how cool is that, how can they leverage this technology, and they are true how to say they are believers, and they are like they don't wonder about actually business advantages and so on. They just want to try something new. They see something cool here and they even pay for it some like price. For instance, if you use crypto for paying for, I don't know, to send, for instance, money to your family or friends to another country when you have some problems with your the banking system, with international banking system, which is not really good in some countries. And you just leverage this technology. You don't think about businesses, how they can leverage. And there are a lot of startups which are working on new technologies which don't have actual applications right now, so they are just developing. And they need the product that we are selling just to move faster in their development, to not spend their time, which is always not enough to do all that they want in their development. And there is another part of all of potential users. For instance, Web2 companies which would like to leverage blockchains for something that actually doesn't exist as an application also. And there are some big enterprises that are thinking how they can use this technology in some supply chains or like CDBC and so on. And I'm not sure that we are good at the second part of this market, and I don't think that our direct competitors are also good at it, because these mostly these type of customers finally don't find the real advantages. So they spend a lot of money to do some proof of concept, and then like years are passing and there is no revenue and so on. And I think I don't see the real applications from like top down from big enterprises so far, but maybe it will change in the future. And I see really a lot of startups which are getting some funds, which are getting traction from their users, from their community, who are some of them are growing, some of them are just emerging, some of them are dying because they are like startups, startup environment. And also everybody is telling about crypto winter, like there are a lot of startups died, but also there are a lot of I'd say now companies and pretty big companies from the true crypto space who developed their decentralized exchange, decentralized like liquid staking, and so on. They feel pretty fine even now, because they have customers, and customers use their product really heavily, and they love this product, and they don't want to use something like centralized, and that's why they will retain with them. And they have a future, basically.
So which business which business will get more benefit, or for which business this product is most useful, you think?
I think just examples, decentralized exchange, liquid staking, any lending, borrowing applications, bridges, any application which is working with chain on chain data, and they can leverage this technology. They also do already do, but as I described before, there is a technology developed by the Graph, and it's pretty popular and well known, and we are just making this convenient, more convenient to use. But basically in this space, all top players are using this in some ways. So like decentralized exchange, liquid staking, lending, and so on applications.
So how is your experience as a product manager?
I really like this job, and being a product manager, I think I have a strong technical background, but I always tend to move closer to the business, and in this position, I feel that it's really great to see how I can participate both in development in sales and in product development. So it's great because it's like on the intersection of all this stuff that I like.
So you are being the mediator between the customers and developers.
Yeah, that's a great description.
So how you are able to take the input from the customers and create something that is useful for the customers by telling to the developers?
Sometimes it's not easy because the developers and the customers speak in different languages. What I'm trying to do is to show the cases of customers to the developers, because on the examples, it's pretty easy to understand the problem. I'd say that when developers have their view on the situation and their priorities in their like head, and just to show that in the case of the real customer who exists, who just talked to me, and they have a problem that is out of scope of priorities of the developers, really change the situation, and they want, like in this case, they can change their mind, can focus on something really important. I say this is the main idea what I leverage.
So what kind of research or what kind of study you do in order to be a good product manager in your present role?
You mean education
it can be from any other resources that you collect the information to improve the improve yourself or for the product that you are working, you are doing some research work, meeting some people or talking with some other people from whom you can get information in order to be more productive in your role.
I read a lot of books regarding not only product management, but startups and business. And I'd say that after reading and learning, you see the main patterns that you need to do like something, because there are the rules, like you have to speak with the customers, like it's like a rule. You have to collect the feedback, you have to like write user stories and so on. But after some period of time, after the years of real work, you starting figuring out the difference when the people just following these patterns, and they look like they do everything right, but the results can be not really good, not like and to notice this difference, you need to do a lot of work by your hands, and not only speaking with customers, but diving into the technologies and trying everything by your own, and like doing a lot of homework to be on the level to understand what you actually need to do now, what you have to focus on, and sometimes to not do that looks good, looks how you should do, like like stop with it and to start focusing on something that other people just don't notice. And sometimes I mean, for instance, at some point I figured out that we got stuck with the development because everybody's losing the focus and trying to do finish all the tasks they have, and the backlog is like super big. And I see that the core product is not moving forward. And I did a lot of work and efforts to make people understand what the problem is. And I don't think that it's a great like product development product development feature, but it's but finally that for instance I can change my focus on this part and to execute this the solution, finally it moved the product much further and much faster than before, and to the actual users to start selling it. So in my opinion, if we are just like focusing on the product stuff for the product manager, we miss that there are a lot of things that are not written in the books, and you learn only learning by doing. And then like after doing a lot of stuff, you know what to do.
How much experience you have as a product manager?
I think 5 years total. And before that, I worked mostly in AI field, and also as a product manager, and also in the middle of development team and customer and but there was a big corporation, and it was not a startup, and having a pretty similar work, the focus points were really different. Like there, just to make this big corporation move in the direction what you need for your product, you need to put a lot of efforts, much more than just to speak with customers to figure out the needs, because you can know everything about the customers, but the main problem will be how to execute it actually. And in startups, it's much, much easier, because like nobody will say like, don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this. You just go in to like do it. You can communicate with anybody in the company easily just to agree to do something. And in big corporations, it's really different to just to communicate, just to agree on something, and it's hard. But then to execute on this something that you agreed on, it's another problem. Yeah, everything was like product management, called product management.
So, from last 5 years as a product manager, taking the feedbacks and knowing how to build different products, you're observing also the market, the industry, the change that is the constant change that is happening in the industry. So, as a product manager, how you update yourself in order to match the requirements of the market?
I'm trying to remind in my opinion, when work on the product and trying to consider the market change on your work, I don't think it's really what you need to do. Right after you started working on the product, you are trying to focus not on the big market, but on the small case of your particular user, and to try to see the patterns that are repeating from different customers' use cases. And you can make sometimes it's hard, but basically there is a niche, and there are the customers that you can reach. You can make the product grow anyway. And also, yes, if there is a growing market, it's much easier. But I'd say the observing how the big market is growing or decreasing, it can just frustrate that your results are not the same that you expected from this big market change. I think that it's better to focus on your work and to do at least small improvements every day than just trying to notice the big change on the market. I think it's better.
So, the products that you worked for are big scale products.
From previous dropping in our
Yeah, all the 5 years of jobs.
Before that, I worked on mostly internal products on the big corporation, but it was internal products that help the bank officers to process the documents from the customers faster. And that was software for these officers, which read the documentation, and it utilized the computer vision, natural language processing to extract the data, and only to show the user the results of the work, and offer to just click the button accept or decline. That was one product. Before that, we worked on the recommendation system for sales, and there was a big database with contacts and with features of these customers, and we were developing machine learning algorithm to make a rating for one like daily basis, who should they speak to increase the probability of success. Before that, I worked on the also machine learning algorithms, computer vision, which were recognizing the patterns on like fiber optic signals and so on to control the borders of some territories. Yeah, that's it.
So how many technology tools do you know?
Like what technology tools?
To build a product.
No, I'm not sure that it's easy to say like how many, because if you ask, for instance, how many like programming languages we used, it will be the I can tell a number, but the tool is too wide description for me. I don't know.
Okay, so the product that you're working right now, what you're using to build it?
Okay, we use some products from JetBrains software for software development, like PyCharm and so on. We use also U-Track from this company to track tasks. GitHub, Linux, like bash scripts. Sometimes there are really heavy technical stuff, but it's much faster to do something by your own, not waiting for somebody will help. So I'd say that my tools are pretty similar to tools of the developers who are working on the actual development of technical part of the product.
So the product that you're working right now, what kind of feedback that you are listening from your customers?
It looks like we can ask like if he like I'd say sometimes they just come over and say that the nodes are lagging or the nodes are not performing, and then we are trying to figure out how their use case facing real infrastructure can not having like all advantages of this infrastructure, and then so we can understand what the circumstances or what the environment they use, then like speaking with developers trying to figure out how it affects how this affect their user experience, and this is like pretty heavy technical stuff, like regarding like infrastructure parameters of this. I like that.
So how will be the talk with the developers? How do you talk and how it will be?
How I talk to developers?
Yeah, how it will be regarding the product?
I think we speak on the same language. Like if I understand pretty good what they do, they understand what I do, and there is no like barriers or some specific methods to understand each other, I think.
So everything that customer says can be translated and given in their technology product.
I think it's pretty transparent. We do it this way.
So everything is possible with technology.
hard question. I don't know.
Because you hear so many responses from so many people.
Sorry, the beginning of the phrase.
So you listen so many responses. You take a lot of feedback from different people in order to improve the product or the service. So you listen what they say. So do you listen something that you won't expect?
I'm trying to be open to you, any opinion. Sometimes we yes, sometimes there can be situations when I disagree with the customers, like when I think that like the case that like they use the tool wrong way, and this can be challenging to agree on something. But mostly, like the people that use our products are pretty smart, and it's easy to get the feedback and to try to help them. There's no problem in the process.
So, at last, what do you say about your work to my audience?
I like
About like how you are enjoying about product management and how it is and how it is in the market.
I think like anyway I like my job and I can recommend to you like try yourself in this field, and I think that on the market there is impossible that there will be no demand on product managers, because anyway like business works, we are products and sales, and somebody have to understand what we really need to do, what to develop, and how to like sell it basically. And I see this position is as it's like somebody says like it's CEO of like product of like some part of the company, and it's pretty inspiring and exciting to work like on this job.
And what do you say about my questioning in this conversation?
What, sorry?
My questioning in this conversation, what is your observation about my questions?
Your questions? It was pretty interesting to discuss it from different sides. It was great question. Thanks.
And what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
I'd say we were speaking almost an hour, maybe like shorter is better, because I think that it's cool to you touch like the main things in short period of time, because like sometimes you have I don't know 20 minutes just when you are getting to work, and you can listen to the podcast, and then you just forget to continue and so on. So I'd say that it can be just shorter, and that's it. But everything was great.
Yeah, but like you know, I take interviews of all countries, like people from all countries, more than 100 country experts I interview, and to present I will present an individual or a professional only for once in my channel. So I want to tell exactly what that person is doing, like in whole. I can't do justice for that person just by talking 5 or 10 minutes. I cannot cover his job in 5-10 minutes.
Yeah,
Even
that's
one
true.
hour. 1 hour is very less, because you have 5 years of product management experience. In 1 hour, it is impossible for me to like ask many questions.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Sure, sure. But there is a TikTok, which is like winning the world, and everybody's looking at several seconds videos, having fun.
But I more concentrate on information rather than famous. If the duration of listening or watching on my channel is more, people are sitting and watching and listening to my podcast and taking time. I have increased that value, and also my area is very big. Like my area, my audience are from different parts of the world, not just India or US or Canada or UK, Europe. I have everywhere. So even 100 people from that country, 100 people from that country can able to get whatever you said now. It is a very big number. So I'm not targeting my target audience is very big. It's a global thing. So it is okay to have a big discussion. If I was targeting one country or one locality, because the number of people will be very less. The population of that particular place will be less. So I have to compulsorily impress them in order to create something what they like. So if you can see the more number of people you are targeting, it is okay even if you get 10 or 100 or 1,000 from that country or 1,000 from this country, 1,000 from... if you combine it, that number becomes big, and that number doubles when the information is good. Eventually, I'll concentrate on the value of the information that I'm sharing. Everybody wants information rather than just spending time for 5 minutes. They want to learn. Actually, I'm sure your words will change at least 100 to 200 people from anywhere in the world. I believe so.
Yeah, great. Great vision.
And I want your feedback for the last time. So I have done master's in software engineering and bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working for some UK company as a DevOps, cloud DevOps engineer and software developer. So that is my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm taking interviews of experts like you who are already in the industry, who are working on different products and services, and who belongs to different parts of the world, and who works in Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix. Also people who belong to different industries like police officers, authors, psychologists, doctors. Trying to communicate with different mindsets and who belongs to different industries and different companies and different countries, different cultures, who are coming from different cultures, different backgrounds. So me having these kind of conversations, because you listen to a lot of customers in order to improve the product that you're working on. So you know the value of the feedback, how that can be helpful in order to create a great product which helps or solves many problems. So me trying to have this diversity in my project, this is my personal project that I do. So also I interviewed people from NASA who works on space industry, space technology. In order to understand how the information transfer is happening between the satellites and and the people who are living on the land. So what technologies they are using, how things works in order to for communication purpose. So this kind of diversity and collecting information from different parts of the world and understanding how they are solving problems in different places, how this experience is going to be helpful for me in coming days in my technical career.
Great, sounds great.
How
great job.
How it is going to be helpful?
Yeah, I think it's super helpful because really to see different people from different areas speaking about their work, it's really, really cool, really helpful.
So can you share your social media presence to my audience so that they can learn from you, they can follow you?
Yes, you mean how, for instance?
Can you spell it? Your Twitter, or if you have a website?
I have a Twitter, but you can share the link on the YouTube.
I'll put it, but for podcast listeners, can you spell it?
Balakhonov.
Yeah.
This is a nickname on Twitter.
Sure. So can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Sure.
Also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yes, yes, sure, sure.
So I'm sure valuable experience or the answers that you have given, the information that you have shared, if it helps at least one person in developing his career in product development, you will be the reason for their growth and you will be the reason for their development.
That will be great.
Thank you again, Kirill, for your valuable time on my show.
Yeah, no worries. My pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Yeah, bye.